Right. John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let us go before the Lord and commit these truths to him this morning. Heavenly Father, it is our great privilege that we get to come into your presence to worship you in prayer. It is our privilege that we get to come before you, Lord, now as we open up your word and as we sit under the ministry of your Holy Spirit, as he preaches, as he boldly proclaims your truth to our hearts and meets each of us right where we are at right now. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing love. We are unworthy recipients of that love. We don't deserve it, but you have graciously bestowed it upon us in such an amazing way. Lord, thank you so much. What a blessing. Oh, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we could be called the sons of God. Lord, what an amazing reality that you would love us enough to bring us into adoption as sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord. Guide us now as we go before you here and walk through this passage, these verses, and consider your love and how we should respond. Help us, O God. We want to be changed. We want to be changed, Lord. Give us the grace to listen and receive and do all that you are calling us to do. Thank you, Lord, for what you will do. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What is love? What is love? There's something special about looking upon a newborn child, brand newborn, when they're still looking pretty yucky. There's something special that melts my heart as I've looked at each one of my children at birth. Yes, they have been around by that time for 9 months, but it's the first time I've been able to truly lay my eyes upon them. And how my heart melts when I see this child come forth. A living child. A blessing, a gift. It's a beautiful reality of love. But that doesn't even compare to a mother's love, who has just gone through the excruciating pain of delivery. Yet as soon as the child is laid upon her chest, it seems as though that anesthetizes her pain. I know the pain isn't gone, but it is amazing to see the change that takes place when she gets to hold her baby and the love that she pours out upon that life, that love for that child takes the pain and dulls it to a great degree. What amazing love. And that love doesn't even compare to the love of our God. That love doesn't even come close to comparing to the greatness of God's love for us. The reality is, for me, as I consider this new life, as I look at little baby Caitlin now, and I consider, wow, I love her. Whoa, I need to really love her. I need to really love her. She needs to see the love of God in me and through me. Oh, God, help me. What a great responsibility we have as parents. What a great responsibility we have as adults as we live before these children that are around us. What a great responsibility we have as grandparents to live before our children. Don't spoil them. Love them. Love them. Help your children to give them the greatest opportunity to raise them in a way that would be honoring and pleasing in God's sight. Oftentimes I hear horror stories, as I consider them horror stories, where a grandparent loves to spoil their grandchildren, then they get to send them back. You're destroying what the parent is trying to do. Don't spoil them. Love them as Christ loves them. The great responsibility of this life, the reality of my own life, Lord, how can I love this child in such a way as to influence and shape her into a godly woman that you want her to be? Yes, this goes through mine as a parent, as a father. It's my responsibility to take this young life and love on her to the degree that her heart is shaped and molded into the very image of Christ. That's on me. Oh God, help me. I have to love her. I have to choose. Yes, I. There's a love that is so real. But I have to choose to love her to the degree that she needs and that God calls me to in order that she even has a chance at one day receiving Christ as her Savior and being brought into that adoption as a child of God. That's on me. And I take that very seriously. Want her to be a godly woman with a heart after the Lord, after you, Lord, seeking to please you in everything she does. How can I do this? I must serve her with agape, with love that is self-sacrificing. That's what I must do. How can I love her in a way that you call me to love, Lord? How can I love her to the degree that you call me, command me to love her? I say that for all my children. I say that for my wife too. I say that for each one of you. How can I love you to the degree that would be the greatest influence upon you aside from Christ Jesus Himself? Oh, this great responsibility that we have as parents, as adults, as grandparents, as a pastor, it's a great responsibility we have. Consider with me God's love, and in turn, what your responsibility is to be. That we should, how we should, or what our responsibility is, but what our response is should be to His love. What should we do with the love that we have been so blessed with? How should we respond with that as a vessel of the love of God? As you see there at the top of your outline there, it says, God's love toward us is not dependent upon what we do or who we are. You realize that? God doesn't love you more or less because of who you are or what you do. Do you realize that? God loves you simply because of who He is. God's love is simply dependent upon who He is. He is a God of love who does not change, so therefore His love cannot change. And if His love could change, that means it either wasn't good enough, it wasn't perfect enough, or so that it could be made perfect, or it was somehow too perfect? I don't know. If God had to change, that means something was lacking in Him. Nothing's lacking in God. His love is dependent upon who He is, not upon what you do. So you can't mess up enough for God to say, that's it, I don't love you. So, we're looking at the fruitfulness in Christ's love. How can we be fruitful in Christ's love? What does the Bible tell us about God's love? How should this affect my life? Consider with me the passage in John chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. Look at two verses this morning. And let us consider the example stated, the command to follow, and the explanation given regarding God's love. That's the outline. That's where we're going. Number one, His example stated. His example stated. What is the example that is stated here? Well, if you look at it, it says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. There's the example. What do we do with an example? We observe it. Observe the example of Christ. So His example is stated. Our responsibility, observe. That's what the second blank is there. Consider this illustration. There was a very unusual military funeral in California in December of 2013. Sergeant First Class Joseph Gant, who fought in both World War II and the Korean War, was laid to rest. He had been captured in Korea in 1950 and died the following year. That would be 1951. But his body was not returned for many years, and his death was never confirmed by the North Koreans. His wife, Clara, waited for decades for her husband to come back. She regularly went to meetings with government officials seeking information about what had happened. Clara even bought a house and had it professionally landscaped so that all Joseph would have to do when he came home was go fishing. She was 94 years old when his remains were finally brought home for a military funeral with full honors. It wasn't the homecoming that she dreamed about, but she finally knew his fate. Clara told a reporter who interviewed her, "He told me if anything happened to me, he wanted me to remarry. And I told him, no, no, here I am, still his wife, and I'm going to remain his wife until the day the Lord calls me home." Wow. He goes on to say, love, true godly love, is not temporary or transient. Love is a commitment that is meant to last. Love is not based on everything going right or always being happy. Love is not an emotional feeling, but rather a choice of the will. Casual commitments do not produce a foundation for deep and meaningful relationships. Instead, we should love others as God loves us, with unfailing love that never ends. An unfailing love that never ends. That is God's love for us. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that amazing? And can it be that God would love me this way, to this degree? Not because of who I am, but all because of who He is. That is our God. And that is the love that He has toward us. And that is the love that He desires us to have towards others. So John here gives us an example for us to observe. Look at this example. Well, first we see, letter A, the Father's love for the Son. The Father's love for the Son. As the Father hath loved me, Christ is speaking. Just as the Father has loved me. John 17:24, we see the Father's love for the Son is eternal. It says, as Jesus states in His high priestly prayer, He says, Father, and we skip to the end of the verse, Thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. An eternal love. It's eternal. That verse speaks of the eternity past that the love began. Ultimately, that love never began. And before the foundations of the world, God was loving the Son. And as that love was in eternity past, so it will be in eternity future. Repeatedly, Christ speaks of His amazing bond of love between Him and His Father. The Father vocally stated His love for the Son. We see that in Matthew 3:17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." John 10:17, "Therefore doth My Father love Me, because I lay down My life that I may take it up again." John 17:26, "And I have declared unto them Thy name." Jesus again is speaking, "Lord, I've declared Your name unto them, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith You have loved Me may be in them, and I in them." You see the heart of Christ here, don't you? You see the heart of Christ in saying, Lord, I've declared unto them, I've taught them all about You and Your love for Me. And just as You love Me, I love them. And I want them to know that. I want them to see that the way You love Me is the way that I love them. Do you realize that? The way that the Father loves the Son is the way the Son loves us. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. The Father's love for the Son is eternal and unchanging. Why do I say that? God is an eternal God, and God is an unchanging God. So therefore, His love is in line with His character. God can't be contrary to who He is. God's love is both eternal and unchanging, because God is both eternal and unchanging. So we see the Father's love for the Son. Now let's look at letter B, the Son's love for His disciples. Jesus loves those who follow Him with the same love that the Father loves Him. This is a most precious truth for us. This is a most precious truth for us, is to know that I am loved by my Savior just as much as His Father loves Him. That is an absolutely tremendous, phenomenal truth. Most precious. Why? Because God loves the Son with an eternal love, with an infinite love, with a love that never fails and is never compromising. God loves His Son to the utmost degree. And if Jesus is saying, God, the Father loves Me that much, I love You that much. Wow. Wow. Absolutely amazing. Let that blow your mind. Meditate upon these things. Meditate upon it. Let it just take you into the heavenlies of just rejoicing. This is my God. And He loves me this much. Don't ever doubt the love of God. This amazing reality, when we look at Scripture, you go through, the love of God is one of the most widely taught characters, attributes of God in the Bible. It's taught over and over and over and over and over again. And the unfortunate reality as Christians is that it tends to be one of the first things we doubt about God when we get into difficulty. God saying over and over and over again, I love You. I love You. I love You. And we're no different than the disciples when in the boat and Jesus is sleeping on the mat. Carest thou not that we perish? Don't You love us? You're going to let us die. We do the same exact thing. We do. We do. So the Son's love for the Father. Consider Philippians chapter 2. The kenosis passage. Philippians chapter 2 verses 5 through 7 here. So let's read 5 through 8. Let's just get this into our mind. Just consider these things. Paul writing as he... writing about Jesus Christ. Said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Take this mind, have this mindset, the mindset of Christ, who, Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How much does God love you? How much does Jesus love you? How much does Jesus love His disciples?
How much? Enough to die. Enough to die for us. He loves us this much. Look at me. He loves us this much as He spread out His arms and died for us. It wasn't nails that gripped Him to the cross. It wasn't nails that held Him there. It was His love for us that held Him to the cross. And it wasn't that anyone took His life. He gave it freely. That's an amazing reality too, isn't it? You didn't have to force Christ's life away from Him. He offered it. He offered it. He didn't begrudgingly go to the cross. It was who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That is the heart of our Savior as He died for us. How He loves us so much. But consider a few things here. 4 points under the Son's love for His disciples. As we look at Philippians chapter 2 here. Number 1, we see the Son's love for His disciples in His birth. In His birth, He humbled Himself. We see that in Philippians 2:7, at the end of that verse, and He was made in the likeness of men. We see in John 1:14. Well, let's just look at John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14 says, "And that Word, who was God, He was made flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus is the Word who was made flesh. He humbled Himself in just coming that eternal step down from heaven. And just consider this reality. Oh, how visible it is for me right now. Consider the reality that God the Son, Jesus, the Creator of all that is, the Creator of the woman, and the Creator of her womb, and He willingly went inside her womb for 9 months. God the Son entered the womb of a woman for 9 months and went through the birthing process. That's love, isn't it? That is amazing love. That He would go through that for us. And that doesn't even begin to describe the amazing love that God has for us. Oh, how He loves us. That's humbling Himself. Our Creator went through that for us and was laid in the manger, a feeding trough, in a stable, in a barn. Jesus was born in a barn. No soft linen sheets for our King of Kings. No pristine hospital for our King of Kings. No, He got He was born in the same place animals are born. It's amazing love that our God has for us, that He would go through that for us. Number 2, we see the Son's love for His disciples in His life. In His life, He was an example. He was an example. He was an amazing example. Verse 7 of Philippians 2, "But made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant." A servant in this life. He set the greatest example of love for us by living the life of serving others. To consider Christ. What did Jesus do on this earth? He lived the life showing us the love of the Father by serving us. He served us. That's how He showed us that He loves us. That's another way that He showed us how much He loves us. What should we do? Our love should be displayed. The love of God to us should be displayed in our serving others. Only self-sacrificing love can display itself in a life committed to serving others with no hope of self-glory. Christ's only desire was to please the Father. He served and loved His Father by serving and loving us. I'll take just a moment and really emphasize this. Jesus loved and served us. That was how He served and loved the Father. That's the example that He set for us. That's His example to you and to me. What should we be doing? What should we be doing? We should be loving and serving others in our service to God. When we look at the mission statement for the church, the right angle, this right triangle, we're to be douloses of God, be responsive to the will of our Master. Okay? Be responsive to His will. Lord, what do You want me to do? Submit to Him. I bow and worship to You, Lord, and I want to serve You in whatever way, whatever capacity You desire for me to serve. But it's service. Service to God, and it is God that works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So we're bowing in worship to Him, submissive to His will. He's working in us. That's the vertical relationship. He's working in us both to do and to will of His good pleasure. And in response, as we are submissive to our Master's will, we in turn become a diakonos. Another word for servant in the Bible, where we are responsive to the needs of others. So God works in us to serve others in our horizontal relationships. Out of love and service for God, we serve and love others. That is how we treat others is how we're ultimately showing that we're treating God. You see that? That's a phenomenal truth. That's a humbling reality to me. Because as a father to my little baby Caitlin, I gotta change her diaper. Gotta get up in the middle of the night. I gotta deal with her crying. I have to serve her and love her. I have to do that with Carissa. I have to do that with Joshua. I have to do that with Cassandra. I have to love them and serve them in times when I don't feel that they are worth loving and serving. Even times when it doesn't feel convenient. I must choose to love them. I must choose to love them. And the reality is I get to choose to love them, don't I? I get to serve them. I get to love them. God has given me that great privilege. But it's not just about being a parent. It's just about being a human being, a child of God. We get to serve and love others because our God has loved us to this degree. I can't emphasize it enough. And we finish off that triangle. We come back to God. When we do it for the glory of God, He receives the glory. That's everything. That is everything for us. That has to be our motto. That has to be what drives us in this life. We get to serve others in worship to God. Our responsibility. That's our response.
Notice that it's not I get to serve and love them if they deserve it. Because God doesn't serve us and love us because we deserve it, do we? We need it. We need it. We don't deserve it. Everybody else doesn't necessarily deserve our love, but they need it. Don't they? Look at the example Christ set. Let's follow in His footsteps. We see the Son's love for His disciples in His birth, in His life, and in His death. Philippians 2:8 says, "And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." The way in which Christ loves us is a cross kind of death. It's not just dying to self. Do we realize that? It's not just about dying to self. Jesus died 1,000 deaths before He died. That's the crucifixion process. The cross kind of death is excruciating. And that's where we get that word from, is crucifix in the Greek. It's excruciating. It was an amazingly tormenting and vile way to die. That is how much God loves us. Are we getting a picture of the sense, the magnitude of Christ's love for us? The Father loves Him to the same degree. The Father loves Him to the same degree. Christ humbled Himself to the will of the Father and took our sin upon Himself and paid our death penalty in full. In full. What amazing love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. So loved. Emphasize, how much did God love me? So much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That is amazing love, isn't it? That is absolutely amazing love. Let us understand how much God loves us. How much does He love us? The greatest example of love is evidenced in self-sacrifice. It's evidenced in self-sacrifice. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Wow. Love is evidenced. True love. The love of Christ is evidenced in giving His life for us. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth or proved His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In the state of being a sinner, in the state of being a sinner, we were the enemy of God. Do you realize that? Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were the enemy of God, while we were in direct opposition to God, Jesus died for us. Who on earth, what story, where in Shakespeare do you read anything about? And I use Shakespeare just for the simple reality of people writing on earth or just novels and everything. What storyline do you ever see where the Creator, your Creator, or anybody for that matter, would love their enemy to the degree that they would die for their enemy? It just doesn't happen. It's only from the Word of God. It's only from the lips of God. It's from only from the heart of God that we would ever see or read anything about this reality. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? This is how much God loves us. God through Christ proved His love for us as Christ died for us while we were His enemies, while we were totally against Him. Totally against Him. So we see Son's love for His disciples in His birth, in His life, in His death. What about in His resurrection? His resurrection, don't leave that one out. In His resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 58, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But someday, go through and look for the butts of the Bible. The great contrast of the Bible. This was the state. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But here's a contrast. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow! What a contrast. What a reality. This was a dreadfully death-looking reality because it was death. It was dreary. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory. We were at loss. We were lost in our condition without Christ. But because of Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection from the dead, He has conquered death. Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. That's you and me. He's given us the victory through Christ, through faith in Christ Jesus. Wow. Wow. And as a result, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not a waste of time. You realize that? You realize this precious reality, being a Christian isn't a waste of time. Why? Because God, who is rich in mercy, for with His great love,
loved us and died for us. Wow! How great is our God? How great is the love that our God has for us? Quickly, we see Roman numeral 2, His command to follow, we are to abide. The command that we are to follow is that we must abide. Verse 9 says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Continue in my love. It's a command. Do this. Continue in my love. Jesus states that the Father's eternal and unchanging love toward Him. Then He says that this is saying that He loves for us as His followers. And finally He says, live in that love. Live in that love. Why do we need to know about the love of God? Why am I emphasizing the love of God? Why does it matter? Because if we don't, the less we understand, the less the love of God is a reality to us, the less we're going to live the love of God in worship to Him. What does God's love look like? If we don't know what God's love looks like, how can we live that kind of love? How can we love that kind of way? Now I get it. His love is divine, perfect. It never wavers. It's faithful. It's eternal. It's infinite. God's love is awesome. How on earth can I love the way God loves? I can't. But I can be a vessel of that love. As I abide in Christ and His words abide in me, I can be a vessel of the love of God. That's how I continue in His love. Being a vessel of God's love. John 13:35 says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if ye have love one to another. When we are not loving as a Christian, we are not displaying true discipleship. Do you realize that? By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. That if you have love one towards another. Love is the most important character trait of the Christian showing their discipleship. How well do you love? How well do you love? Oh, man, there's days where it doesn't feel good to love, does it? Oh, I'm going to love you because God said it. And no. No. Love. Serve. Love. God's Word is abiding in us. We're abiding in Christ. We can love the unlovable. We can love those who are so hard to love. We can do it. Because as Christ says, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength will be made perfect in your weakness. Well, I'm just not a good lover. Well, guess what? That's good. Christ says, that's your weakness is how you love? Great. Look how much I love. And I want to love through you. Let my grace be sufficient for you so that my powerful love will be made perfect in your weak love. No excuses. No excuses for us, is there? Oh, man. Oh. Here we go. Now I have to love. I got no excuse but to love. Yes, that's a great thing, isn't it? Rejoice. Rejoice. And closing number 3. So we see the example that is stated there. We see this command that we are to follow. And in closing, let's look at the explanation that is given. The explanation that is given is that we are to obey. How do we show the love of God? Well, verse 10 says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and I abide in His love. Obedience. Obedience is the way that we show love. obedience. Through obedience, love is displayed. Love for God and God's love through us. Obedience. Obedience to who? Keeping my commandments. God's commandments. What does He say for us to do? He says, love one another. He says, show compassion to one another. He says, selflessly serve one another. Dad, husband, what's your job? Be a servant leader. You lead by serving. Wait a second. How is that hierarchy? How is that meeting my role as the husband and father? No. We are to serve and lead. Jesus says, just as I have washed your feet, so you wash other people's feet. That's leadership. That's how you lead in the home. That's how you lead at work. That's how you lead, period. You lead by serving others. That's how we display the love of God. Christ says, serve one another. That's how we love. We love others enough to serve them with self-sacrificing service. Not about my glory. It's all about your glory, God. It's all about you. John 14:15, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Wait a second. You see that? Do you want to see do you want to see Jesus Christ manifested to you? Do you want to see Christ become so visible and real to you? Is that what you desire? That's what I want. What's it say? He that has my commandments and keeps them. So the one that obeys is the one, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus manifests, makes himself so real to us and his love so real to us when we obey. Oh, it can't be that simple. Well, you try obeying faithfully. How simple is that? It's only by the grace of God that we can obey at all, isn't it? We need God's grace, but His grace is sufficient to help us obey. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24, and he that keeps my commandments, and he that keeps his commandments dwells in him. So this is how we dwell in Christ, through obedience, and he, Christ, in us, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And the Spirit of God is clearly visible in your life. How can we obey? Being filled with the Spirit. When love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, when those being the fruit of the Spirit, when those are evidenced in our lives and we see the Spirit of God through those character qualities, the fruit of the Spirit, we know that the Spirit dwells in us, and that's a confirmation of the fact that we are a child of God. That is awesome. That is amazing. And we know that if we keep His commandments, He, Christ, is abiding in us. And we are abiding in Him. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And what does it say? And His commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. Oh, but Lord, no, my commandments are not grievous. We too oftentimes look at the burdens that we have, the commandments that God gives us, and we say, Lord, this is too tough for me. Does God give us anything that's too difficult for us to handle? Well, you haven't seen my situation. I don't need to. Because I know that God tells us clearly, I will not give you more than you can handle. Because whatever I give you, I've made you a dependent creature. And it's not, yes, it's too much for you in your own strength to handle. But it is God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It is God that gives us the desire to do and then the power to do. As He works through us, as His grace is sufficient for us. That's the amazing reality. God calls us, whatever He calls us to, He wants to give us the grace to do exactly that. So the simple truth is that we prove our love for God when we obey Him. When we obey Him. When we obey Him. What do you need to do in order to obey? You got to know it. You got to obey. So what does it take for us in order to know what we need to obey? Daily, getting in this book. What does it say? What does it say? What does it say? This is not a burdensome, grievous commandment that God calls for us to get into it daily, is it? Too often times we live that way, don't we? Too often times we, gotta get into my Bible. I forgot. Let's look at the precious realities. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope, confidence. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Great is thy faithfulness. Right? This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. Wow. Here, not grievous. Precious. So what's my next step? Am I obeying God? Do others see that I love God and how I love them? Do others see that I love God and how I love them? Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank You so much for Your great, absolutely amazing love. You are so, so good to us, far beyond what we deserve. Lord, we love You. We want to magnify You. We want to honor You and worship You. Lift Your name most high, Lord. Thank You. Help us, Lord, as we consider what lays before us is You love us just as much as Your Father loves You. What an amazing reality. Lord, You call us to love. Abide in Your love. To obey Your commandments. Help us, O God. We need Your help. We need Your help. Thank You, Lord. We commit all of these things to You, and we pray them in Jesus' name.